25 hours ago, I stood at this very spot, and if I'd had any hair, I would have pulled it out. I was panicking, because as you know, yesterday morning was the day we'd said we'd try and clean the church, give it a spring clean. And by the time I stood here 25 hours ago, I had 7 people drop out of my list. Now, I have to say, on their behalf, every one of those 7s had a genuine reason. A number of them have contacted COVID, so obviously they couldn't come. Others were looking after someone in the family who was ill. And others had had injections in their hands. Oh, there he is, Jim. And he couldn't wash up or do anything at all. So I thought, no, dear, what is going to happen? But round about 9:30, Jackie and Angela began to make bacon rolls. And it must have been the smell of them, but all of a sudden, people began to wander in one at a time. And in their hands, they had different types of Hoover, and some expensive because they come from the better end of the town, and others with really expensive ones. And it's only a small group, and I said, right, we have a mission. We want this church hall hoovered. We want the windowsills dusted. We want the 240 chairs hoovered and polished and put back in place in the lounge and in here. And that was your mission. Well, if you've seen the age of the lot we had, sorry, Sue, not you, but I thought we'll never do it. But 2.5 hours later, the hall was hoovered, every chair was hoovered and polished and put back. And so I really like to thank that group very much indeed. And just to let you know, we've got more to do. We've got the community hall, we've got the primary room, and we've got the loft to do. So keep your ears open. But thank you very much. It really helped us so much indeed. Now, before we sing our first song, it's good to see visitors. John and Maggie are here. Welcome them back. Yes. They're only here today, so if you still are owed money by them, you better see them before they go, okay? But yesterday's mission was complete, and that was fantastic. But we as Christians, we have a mission which yet is incomplete. And the mission to every one of you here who is a professing Christian was that the Lord said, your mission is to go and tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ. I wonder, Christian friends, when was the last time you spoke to someone not in the Salvation Army about Jesus? If you don't, this call will die. This call will die. As we die, the call will die, because no one new will be coming, because we're not carrying out the mission that Jesus gave us. Well, all my songs this morning will be getting at you. And it's all about mission. And you've heard the band play the first tune. And here is our first song. The words will appear on the screen. I want to tell you what the Lord can do, what the Lord can do for you. That's the mission. Go out there and tell people what the Lord can do for them. So I'm sorry you're looking so comfortable, but I'm going to ask you to stand. And the band will give us an introduction. And let's hear you singing well this morning. Thank you. If I was here for the first time, I don't think I want to join you lot. Singing. Now, I'm sure if you've got the love of the Lord inside you, you have to sing better than that. So we'll have another verse, please, by Master or Songs Leader. And no introduction, straight in. Now, come on, do your best. Here we go. Please be seated. And that's the secret. You can tell others what the Lord has done for you and tell them he can do it for them also. We're on a mission. We're on a mission. For the next few moments, we're going to just join together in prayer. And we're going to use a little chorus that says, "He is Lord. He is Lord, he is risen from the dead, and he is Lord." We're going to sing it prayerfully because this is where the mission came from. When Jesus rose from the dead, he gave us that permission, that mission to go and seek the lost. As we sing it, I want you to bring to mind the terrible things happening in Ukraine. And those many thousands, millions of people who are being displaced. If you just make a personal prayer as you're singing, he's their Lord as well as ours. Jesus Christ is Lord. Let's sing it through together.
He is Lord.
Shall we pray? Lord, I realize that every person here this morning has their own personal prayers on their heart. Maybe for themselves, maybe for their family, maybe for Ukraine, maybe for the world as a whole. As they make those prayers, I just ask, Lord, that you will hear them, receive them, and in your own good time, answer them. We bring to you Claire at this moment, one of our younger members. Claire needs our prayers in these next few weeks. So, Lord, just put your arms of love around her. I have an invitation for us to pray for Celia's son-in-law, 49-year-old brother, diagnosed with leukemia. He's already started the treatment, but pray for also for his wife and two children, and his mum and his dad and his brother. Family very concerned at the moment. Lord, we bring this family to you, and we bring each of our families to you and ask that you will protect them during this still period of COVID. We pray, Lord, for those who are unable to worship with us this morning, wherever they may be, just let them know that we're thinking of them now. And now as we wait upon you for the rest of this service, we just pray that we shall feel your power working through here this morning. Answer this prayer, Lord, in your precious name. Amen. Amen. We're going to have a go? Yeah. Songster leader, never say no. That's what his name is. And the songsters are a little depleted, but not changing the song. And here it comes, and I hope you'll enjoy it, In the Strength of the King. No, I haven't lost my voice. I had to wait till the technician got back from singing. And I appreciate that applause. I'm sure it was mostly for me, but thank you very much for that. It's really appreciated. It's a hard song to sing, and the songster is smiling, so we must have done fairly well. We'll find out on Thursday. Now, I'm glad you're here. Right. Oh, was that for biscuit for me?
No.
Okay. Right, would you remember, can you put your biscuit down because you're going to help me now, aren't you? Where's Sarah? Oh, no, not Sarah. Ava, I need your help. Come on, man, lad. Now, if you sit on, I'll do sit with you. Right, now, I want you to watch the screen, right? Because there's a song coming up, and at the beginning, I come on first, right? And I sing. And then in the second verse, I come on and Major David comes on and sings with me. And then at the third time, you all come on. And what I want you to remember is when Salty comes up, Salty's a big sponge. When you see him, he's going to say the days of the week. And then when they bob down, they go, chip. Get here when you can, can you? I don't know why I'm talking this. Let's start it. That'll sound much better.
let it shine.
Now,
Ricky, you got something.
Yes.
I'm gonna let.
Did you hear Andy Cracknell sing at the end?
Let it shine! It is brilliant.
Now, you've got a surprise on your face, but I'm going to get rid of you now because you're going to go into Sunday school. And we're going to say a little prayer for you because we'll say a prayer for you and a prayer for those looking after you because they may need it more than you. So can we just close our eyes slightly? Just one that. Oh, sorry.
Where's my
pot? Oh, sorry. Yeah. Right, so if I can pray for you and your biscuits as well, okay?
And don't forget my hedgehog.
Lord, yeah. So, Lord, we're going to have a great time in Sunday school. There's hedgehog, there's biscuits, there's little brother, and lollipop too. And bring them all to you and just pray that these youngsters will enjoy themselves and learn more about you. Amen. Right, straight out you go. Take your bit and don't drop those biscuits. We just cleaned this floor on. Okay, go. Hey, excuse me. This way. Oh, going that way. Okay, right. Lovely. Well, there's that song. We're going to let our light shine. You couldn't help joining in with it. And, well, that's the message. That's our mission. To let our light shine in the world around. Now, put my other cap on now as the Corps Sergeant Major and tell you that unfortunately we're not able to have an open air today, but that will give the opportunity of the band that are here to join you for tea and coffee in the community hall. And usually they're rushing straight out, but today they can take their time. There's no Zoom prayer meeting this evening, but of course the Lent course continues. We're having a good time with Gemma, and she must be good because nobody's dropped out yet. And it's really going well, Gemma. Thank you very much for doing that for us. So that's at 5 o'clock. 5 o'clock this evening in this hall. On Wednesday at 1:30, it's the Friends Together meet once again. And then on Saturday coming at 2 o'clock, it's the celebration of the life of Ray Todd. And Ray was a great Salvationist and a great musician. And for a number of years, he was the bandmaster of the Fellowship Band. And the Fellowship Band will be supporting that event. That's at 2 o'clock next Saturday. Next Sunday, our majors will be back and they'll be conducting our Mother's Day service at 10:30. Over the years, the Salvation Army has changed in many ways. One is that whether you're in the staff band or in a small village corps band, helping non-Salvationist bands is now part of life. Yesterday, Martin and Bob's son-in-law helped the co-op band win a contest. I don't know if you get any points for that, for the co-op, on your card. No, no, probably not. But that. But there's a great opportunity to show and tell the love of Jesus to many in that band other than them who perhaps are not any knowledge of Jesus Christ in their life. So we pray for them that they will be a witness there. Thank you very much indeed for listening. And now we're going to turn to the band. See, we're a little depleted. But they're going to play a tune, The Reason, and the words will come on the screen of this piece. It's great, isn't it, that in Sabashnami we can have so much different types of music. This little light of mine which got us all going, and then that one that got us listening. Would you know why I love Jesus? We're going to sing another song now, and the words will come on the screen. Father, we love you. And remain seated as we sing this song through. There it is again. Our mission is to glorify the Lord in all the earth, wherever we are, at every time, to tell others about Jesus' love. We're going to listen to the word of God now, and it's taken from Luke chapter 8, verse 26 to 39. It's a bit of a scary Bible reading, this. It talks about demons and pigs being filled with spirits, and listen to it and you'll enjoy it, I'm sure. Words may come up on the screen for you. There we are. And so we read from verse 26. They sailed to the region of Gerasenes, which is across the lake from Galilee. When Jesus stepped ashore, he was met by a demon-possessed man from the town. For a long time, this man had not worn clothes or lived in a house, but lived in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell at his feet, shouting at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, don't torture me." For Jesus had commanded the impure spirit to come out of the man. Many times it had seized him, and though he was chained hand and foot and kept under guard, he had broken his chains and had been driven by the demon into solitary places. Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "Legion," he replied, because many demons had gone into him. And they begged Jesus repeatedly not to order them out to go into the abyss. A large herd of pigs were feeding there on the hillside. The demons begged Jesus to let them go into the pigs. And they went into the pigs, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and was drowned. When those tending the pigs saw what happened, they ran off and reported this in the town and countryside. And the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they found the man for whom the demons had gone out of sitting at Jesus' feet, dressed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people how the demon-possessed man had been cured. Then all the people of the region of Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them because they were overcome with fear. So he got into the boat and left. The man from whom the demons had gone out begged to go with him, but Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return home and tell how much God has done for you." So the man went away and told all over the town how much Jesus had done for him. We'll come back to those words in just a few moments' time. But there, Jesus gave the man a mission. Go home and tell everyone in the town what the Lord has done for you. Before we listen to some words from God's word, we're going to stand and sing the same words that the band have just played to you in Would You Know I Love Jesus, but a much more upbeat presentation. So if you would like to rise, stand up, and a little introduction will get us going on this Would You Know Why I Love Jesus. Would you know? That verse for us, if we can get it back on, the last verse. We'll read it, and then we will ask the band to help us sing it. So let's read it together. Would you know why I love Jesus, why he is so dear to me? 'Tis because my friend and Saviour, he will ever, ever be. If you believe that, say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm going home. There's no one left to be saved. Oh, never mind. So we'll sing this, please, Kevin. Thank you for a great sing. I just want to check before I start my sermon is if my wife is here. She's gone out to the. She's gone out with the juniors. Praise the Lord. Okay. So. When I hear Rosie, my wife, utter the words, "I'm on a mission," I cringe. I really cringe. It means she's going to tidy up. Anything I've left around will disappear, sometimes forever, and never to be seen again. She's on a mission, and that mission is to clear up and tidy the place. And she won't stop until she's completed that mission. Well, as we've been saying all the way through our meeting, those of us who are professing Christians, we were made for a mission. And that mission was to share the good news. If that's my wife ringing me, will you tell her stop it, okay? In our reading, we heard that Jesus healed a man with demons. And when he was cured, Jesus said to him, "Go back home and tell people how much God has done for you." So the man went out all over the town telling people how much Jesus had done for him. And there's a verse in 1 Peter 3 verse 15 that says to the Christian, "Be ready at all times to answer anyone who asks you to explain the hope you have in you." You see, God doesn't want anyone to be lost. He wants all people to change their hearts and their lives. But where am I supposed to share this message then? Well, in Acts 1 verse 8 it says, "You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." That covers a lot, doesn't it? That's where we need to share the message. This was God's plan for all of history, which he carried out through Christ Jesus our Lord. And here's the amazing part. The amazing part is Jesus wants you and me to complete that mission. The mission that Jesus started when he was on earth, he wants us to complete it. God puts the future of the church in our hands as Christians. Rick Warren tells this story about God is in heaven and an angel comes up and God says, "My plan is to give the good news to my children on earth and ask them to share it." And the angel said, "Lord, what if they don't? What's your plan B?" God said, "There's no plan B. It's you and me. We have the responsibility of taking over from Jesus to spread the gospel message." Now, maybe you feel inadequate to share your faith. What if someone asks you a question you don't know how to answer? Or what if you get a sticky situation and you need to confront a major sin? What if someone brings up an embarrassing sin and you don't want to talk about it? What if someone becomes angry because you're talking about Christ? Well, I'm sure many Christians here have experienced similar emotions when it's come to talking to someone about Christ. Soul winning can be uncomfortable and it will push us well beyond our comfort zones. Yet Jesus never promised you and me an easy life. I love those before and after pictures, you know. Although I don't like it when you go to a big group of people and there's someone there you haven't seen for years and they bring out a photograph of you when you were young and say, "That's what he used to look like. Look at him now. Before and after." Well, of course, many companies try the before and after thing to get you to buy their products. Take weight loss. They'll show you a picture of someone who has eaten too much. And they'll say, "That's before. But if you use my product," and then they show a picture of someone slim and beautiful and handsome and say, "That's what you can look at afterwards." Or maybe weight loss. Weight loss, is that what I just said? I'm glad you're listening, that's great. workout program, they could put me showing my muscles before, and then they could show Bob Versey with his massive muscles after. Before and after. Or the one I really enjoy is the wrinkle cream. You know, they show your face like mine with lots of wrinkles, and then they show you someone with a smooth face. Well, whether you believe that their product does it or not, many of us fall for it. But that cream still not working for the wrinkles for me. But this morning, in our story, we saw a man and read about a man who had a dramatic before and after picture. The change in his life was incredible. And that Bible story today is a very strange one, maybe even a bit scary.
But there was a man in the story whose mind was sick. He had everything confused. He couldn't think right. He was afraid of everything. He was so afraid that he ran away from home and hid in the cemetery. He thought his friends and family were trying to hurt him. His family were worried that he might hurt himself, so they tried to keep him at home, and they even tied him up, but he always broke away. It seemed to his family that evil spirits had gotten into him and were making him think untrue things. Now today, we wouldn't say so much that it was an evil spirit, but lots of people have mental illness today, and just like this man, live a terrible life. And it's not a good life also for the people who loved him. But then Jesus comes along in this story, and he healed the man and made him well. It was amazing. It was wonderful. All the people and the man's family came to see him. The man was fine. He had put on clean clothes. He was thinking real thoughts, smiling and listening to Jesus. Best of all, he was not afraid anymore. He was calm and sensible. But something else strange happened. All the people were afraid. They were afraid of Jesus. The people had seen how much power Jesus had over the evil spirits. They were afraid of anyone so powerful. So they asked Jesus to leave. The healed man was the only person who was not afraid. He wanted to go with Jesus, but Jesus said no. The man's family had missed him for so long, they needed to have him back. Jesus told the man then to tell the people in his own town how good God is. And happily, the man took on that mission, telling everyone in the town how good Jesus was. So this story had a happy ending, and it reminds us that God loves all people, no matter what troubles they have. Let me come to you now. If you're saved, if you profess to be a Christian, then you have a story to tell. Somebody impacted you with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Somebody cared and reached out for you. Somebody made a difference in your life. Perhaps you could tell me this morning who that somebody was, or maybe it was several people. But they are part of your story of salvation and redemption. But I have to ask you, are you part of anybody else's story right now? In other words, has God used you to bring others to Jesus? Did you know that God will gladly use you to be part of someone else's story? I think of John Cates and Arthur Parker. They never spent time talking about football and cricket. It was straight in. Are you saved, brother? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, there they were. But as I asked you a little while ago, when was the last time that you as a Christian told someone about Jesus who didn't know? In our story, this was a divine opportunity. It didn't look like it on the surface. The disciples were probably saying to Jesus, "He's crazy, Lord. He's crazy. Let's get out of here." But Jesus saw this man and saw a divine opportunity. And I believe we have opportunities every day to make an impact for Christ. But many times we're simply not aware or sensitive to those opportunities. We pass them up and allow the opportunity to minister Christ's love go by. But Jesus didn't do this. He stopped what he was doing and reached out to this man. And in turn, this man told his story to everybody, telling him how great things Jesus had done. This guy had hit rock bottom, but Jesus was there and saw the opportunity to impact this man, seeing his life radically changed. Now, Christ lives in every one of you who are professing Christians here, and he can use you too, but you've got to look for the opportunities. As I mentioned, John and Arthur were good examples of this. Their attitude was nothing ventured, nothing gained. And one sure way to never be part of somebody else's story is to never talk about Jesus to others. You have to open a conversation and lead that conversation gradually toward God and Jesus Christ. I often hear Christians say, "I can't do that. It's not me. I'm too small." Rick Warren said, if you think you are too small to make a difference, you've never been in bed with a mosquito. Think about it. That little mosquito can make a devil of a nuisance to you in bed. Well, I'm not in saying you're a mosquito, but you can. You can. Even if you feel it's only a little, you can share the gospel. Because what is the Christian mission? I'll tell you. The Christian mission is simply obeying Christ, sharing Christ, and relying on Christ. Obeying Christ, sharing Christ, and relying on Christ. Often mission is thought of something that only some people do when their church sends them to another country to talk about Jesus. Well, true, these people are real missionaries. But so are those of us who stay at home. Your own country, your own neighborhood, your own home, your own family is your mission field. Everywhere we go, we should be representing Jesus. There's no place in the Christian experience for time off from being a Christian. And God is looking for willing hearts. He hasn't got any favorites. You don't have to be special. You just have to be available to tell others about him. Not everyone's going to have the ability to sit down and do a Bible study. Scripture recognizes that. In listing the gifts that Christ gave to his church, Paul says he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and some teachers. Not everyone has been so gifted as to be an evangelist. But every one of you, every Christian in this hall, every Christian in this town, every Christian in this country can tell others what God has done for you. Have your story ready. And when the opportunity arises, tell them your story, what God has done for you. God is working in each of our lives. It's up to us to let the story out and not keep it tucked inside. Sure, it's comfortable and safe to do that, but if we were each a little bolder, the world would be that much brighter. A bit like the dimmer switch in a room. Just turn it on a little bit more, and it makes that much difference. If each was just a little bit bolder and telling people about Jesus Christ, then we could do great things for him. You know, the old method of evangelizing door to door doesn't always work, and to be frank, it's inefficient. I remember when I was a cadet at the college, they used to sling us out and take us down to London, and they'd put us in a great big blocks of flats, and they'd say, go on, knock on the door, invite people to find the Lord. Well, we used to knock very quietly. No one would answer. But it didn't work. You can't force someone into the kingdom. The secret lies in the way you approach people and how you share the gospel without condemning them. In John 3:16, God sent Jesus into the world not to condemn it, but to save it. And our responsibility on our mission is not to condemn people because they probably don't, without Christ, they don't know any better, but to save them. Before I just very briefly share with you how we can spread the gospel, first of all, we've got to understand what the gospel is. So what is the gospel? It's simple. It's the good news. In short, the good news is that Jesus Christ died for our sins, was resurrected to show that he conquered sin, and he made it possible for sinners like us to be saved. That's the good news. And why do we Christians have to spread the gospel? We have to spread the gospel, not because the major says or the army says, but because Jesus gave us, his disciples, this great commission in Matthew. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. It's our Christian duty to spread the gospel, not out of obligation, but out of love for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. God's will is that everyone in this world of his would believe in Jesus and be born again. Before they can, they need to hear the gospel from Christians like us. And I repeat again, if our church, if our core is not going to die as we die off, then we have to take up God's mission right now. We need to start telling out the good news. Our future as a core lies in your hands and in my hands. When believers of Jesus Christ share the gospel with others, it draws them toward a personal relationship with God. And that is simply our mission, to talk about Jesus and to tell people what he can do for them. I hope and pray that you will take this mission on as part of your responsibility as being a Christian and tell the whosoever that Jesus loves them and what he can do in their lives. We're going to sing a little prayer chorus before we close our worship, and the words will come up. And it's a little song that says, help us build a loving world. Help us build a caring world. Help us bring a sharing world. Help us bring a peaceful world. Help us bring a happy world. And all those things, loving world, caring world, sharing world, peaceful world, and happy world, are for us to share with those who do not know Christ. We're going to sing these five little verses straight through. If you feel that it will help you to come and rededicate your life to God's mission, just to stand and pray and then go back to your seat, or just where you are, then please do so, because it will help you and it will help our core. We need more and more people to be willing to share the gospel. So we'll sing along with the piano these verses. Thank you. Shall we pray? Lord, make us that sort of people that are prepared to make this a loving and a caring and a sharing and a peaceful and a happy world. We pray, Lord, as Christians, that we will be reminded this morning that you have sent us on a mission, And that mission isn't just to sit here in this lovely hall and enjoy ourselves worshipping you. It means to go out and to tell others who don't know you that you love them. So, Lord, give us the courage to do that. Amen. Amen. Well, let's go out with a bang, okay? Now, what's going to happen? We're going to sing this song, and I've been told, well, I was told by a woman, so it's complicated. If the young people have been practicing for Mother's Day next Sunday, and they haven't been able to finish their lesson, you won't see them. But if they've practiced for, I've got it right in a minute, practiced for Mother's Day, and they've done their lesson, then they'll come and tell us about it. So, John, Maggie's John, it's good to see you here, but it's about time you did something. When we get to the second verse, would you pop in to the community hall and ask Joe whether the children are coming in? Okay, or whether they're not. So the second verse, you go out, then come in, okay, and we'll sing together. And I'll get you to stand up because this is our final song, you'll be glad to know. We have a gospel that matches the hour. It's a lively song, and let's really sing it well. Here's our words, the introduction will come, and we'll follow the bandmaster. I didn't realise I only had one verse. Sorry, John. But he did go out. And, okay, that's what the children think of us. And you'll pick your own children up, please, from the hall. And mind, they're sticky. They've got glue all over them. Praise the Lord. Well, we'll go and enjoy a cup of coffee. Let's just pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity we've been given to worship you. And as we've been singing songs about going out on your mission, and the songs have told us what to do, I just ask once again that you'll make us Christians who are willing to spread the gospel. And now I just pray that as we separate or we meet together for tea and coffee, that your grace and your peace and your love will be ours this morning and forevermore. Amen. Amen. Thank you very much. God bless.